This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Right now, an opportunity for you to get to know new State Representative Christine Goodwin, House District 2. Thanks for coming in today.
Welcome. My pleasure.
So you recently joined the legislature, filling out the term left vacant by the passing of Gary Leaf. A lot of people know you, but a lot of people don't, depending on their background and the community. So maybe start off talking about some of the things you've done in business and in the community.
Well, I started my life in Douglas County in 1978. I was a new young teacher at Roseburg High School. I'd moved down from Portland. And soon after, met my husband and married and started our family. I'm still teaching at this point. And then I stay home for a couple years to be with the children. And then I get this wild idea to start a fitness club. So I launched that in 1988. I did that for 12 years. And then I went to work on our new building project, our new office. And in that process, I had an idea for a coffee house within our facility. And so I started SoCo Coffee and just sold that a few years ago.
What about things you've done in the community, especially in Myrtle Creek, where you're probably best known?
Well, yeah, in a small community, you're engaged in all kinds of activities. The big thing was the school board for me, probably my first dive into politics, and learned a lot of lessons in that experience. And then became involved with the county. Well, I was on boards. I've been on the Community Cancer Center board and the Umpqua Community College board, and just plugged in a lot of different ways. But in the county, I began with the Parks Advisory Board, which at the time was controversial. It was discussions on Boosenbark and Knipe Park. And so it was a little more in conflict, I guess, than when I'd first anticipated. I mean, I just thought it was going to be fun, get involved with parks and learn all about the parks in the county. And it was, and it has turned out to be a really great experience. Then I was asked to consider the interim commissioner position. And so that was really an interesting position. And that's when I really plugged in, learned a lot about our county, finances, functions of the department, how those services roll out, and just what the work of a commissioner is.
Did you find that that job was a lot different than you maybe had thought it was from the outside?
Yes, I think it's a lot more complex than I thought initially. They're the governors of our county, the commissioners, and overall I'm very impressed with the work they do for the county.
So when Gary Leaf passed away and this remainder of the term came up, what made you put your name out then?
I had been distressed about the direction of our state for at least 10 years. I could see that the urban centers of our state are really imposing their will on the rural communities, that we have very different concerns and issues. And so when this came up, I've had this need to get involved, to engage, not just sit down, shut up, and take it, but actually do whatever I can in the state. And so when this wasn't anything, it really took me quite by surprise. But then as I considered it and I reached out to Leader Drazen, I wanted to make sure I understood what the commitment would be. Of course, had to talk it over with my husband. And realized I really have the skills to do this. And when others had called me and encouraged me to consider it, that was very flattering at first. It is flattering to me that people see that I have a broad base of skills and that they could be put to really good use in the state legislature.
A lot of times when people ponder a run for political office, they might have a year or two to think about it. An office is coming up. You're wondering about it. Maybe you know someone is going to be not seeking another term or whatever. Or you at least have a few months. This was really a quick turnaround situation, though.
It was. It was a quick decision for me. And really, I knew of the opening on July 22nd, the day Gary had passed. And basically, I then had to begin the campaign for the appointment, because the first thing that the precinct people needed to know, it's a Republican position, so of course it had to be filled by another Republican. And I had to convince and campaign to the PCPs that I was a true conservative, and that I understood their issues and their concerns, and I shared their values, and I would do, you know, I'd be able to do that in Salem, be their champion of issues in Salem. And so that there were a lot of phone calls I had to make to the PCPs. That was very interesting. Got to speak to a lot of people. Then it went on. There were three of us selected by the PCPs, and then went on to the commissioners. And maybe not everyone realizes that there's a portion of Josephine and Jackson County that's in House District 2. So those commissioners were involved. They had a, it was a weighted decision. I think our commissioners, because they had worked with me and they saw that I had good fundamentals, and they that I get up to speed quickly, that I can gain competence in the position, and so I, you know, they were very positive and supportive.
Your selection and some of the process happened to come during a time when I was on vacation and trying to not pay attention to the news for a week. but are you planning on just doing this for an interim period of time, or you might you be a candidate for next year?
I will just do this. I'm consider in this case, it's actually not considered an interim. I am a state legislature later, and I will complete the term. It'll be about a year and a half. Gary completed what's called the long session. I now there's an interim time in the legislature while there, of course, the redistricting conversations are going on with intensity. Then we'll go into committees, and then the short session will be next year, late January, February through March.
So once you were appointed, what kinds of things have you been doing to jump in?
Well, they start us with onboarding, which is quite a process. So we have to get on board with the state, their devices, their processes, procedures, protocols. There's a lot to learn. Link into the staff at all different areas, and that's what we've been doing. I have hired a legislative assistant, Kellen Goodwin, my daughter-in-law, who has a degree in communication studies from Portland State University, and she is helping me build that communications network. So that, and it takes some time. We are learning, but we're getting there. I was sworn in the Capitol on August 25th, and I will be in session next week for redistricting.
Yeah, let's talk about that special session beginning on Monday. Redistricting is a pretty ominous topic that comes along every 10 years.
Yes, and it's high stakes. So basically, in the state of Oregon, we have 4,200,000 population. Those are divided into 60 districts. So 70,621 people in each district with a plus or minus of 1% deviation is the goal. It sounds simple in theory. In fact, it's pretty complicated pieces of the puzzle that change districts in some cases pretty dramatically. There is supposed to be criteria, rules by which those districts shift, keeping common interests in mind, transportation routes. So there's several things that are to be considered, but really what's happening is those swing districts in the northern part of the state are really, well, the potential for gerrymandering right now is pretty great. So it's concerning because it can shift the political climate even further toward the blue governance.
The maps that came out originally, each party had put together for the congressional side of things, potential there, those vary greatly.
Yes, there's maps all over the place and proposals, and it is just evolving as we speak. The congressional districts, of course, different. There are currently five, and they will be adding one. Right now, of the five congressional districts, only one, District 2, has a Republican representative. So it's really tilted to the Democrat side. They will add one congressional district. But right now, the wagon wheel sort of all flows from Portland, and four of those congressional districts will all tie into that population. So there's things going on, such as Hood River east of Portland is being pulled into East Portland. So when you start to take these rural communities and blend them with larger population bases, it just sort of dilutes their voice and their representation in government. And that's what we're trying not to do, is make sure it doesn't, these districts don't really advantage one party or the other.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More with Christine Goodwin when we come back. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson coming at 1, True Wealth Radio with David Littlejohn, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4 on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. Len McAllister will be in. We'll talk about Umpqua Strong, the event happening next Saturday, the 25th. New State Representative Christine Goodwin in this afternoon talking about redistricting, and that's really a huge topic in Salem for the congressional district, but also when you're in these rural areas and when you have the population information that you talked about and the criteria about how close it has to be. I think a lot of people don't realize, you know, the fact that you have to stay within a certain percentage point or whatever between districts, and that's not always that easy to do.
No, it's not. And it's sort of bargaining this piece of population. I mean, it's down to just single digits in some area to achieve the goals, keep the deviation, the 1% deviation. It's a very that. So the representatives on these committees have been working at this for months.
Wow. Well, it'll be a big topic next
week. It'll be a big topic, yeah.
I'm curious, do you consider or rather continue with the same committee assignments that Representative Leaf had, or have they shifted?
No, they're reconfigured a little bit for this short session. So I will be serving on behavioral health and public safety, which is a subcommittee of Ways and Means.
And getting in, I think he had more committee assignments. A lot of times when you begin, you start out with less, right?
Correct. So there's seniority in those assignments. They try to place you in areas that are of interest to you. But I also connect with other representatives who are on committees that I may be really interested in, may flag those kinds of issues, certainly natural resources, anything having to do with wood products, timber industry, education. So, you know, we will communicate about those bills. So basically in these committees now, the bills are forming, they're emerging, they will have sponsors, you know, that whole play goes on before short session, which we go into vote on those. So that's my time to really study a bill, as I've done in Planning Commission, same, I mean, just study. I like to go into the vote with the facts and information, having, I can convene any agency, any expert, anybody I need to gain information about that. I can, I'm going to make sure that I'm up to speed on those before I take those votes.
So as a Republican in a Democrat-heavy legislature, how do you hope to have an impact?
Well, even the other Republican legislators have said there are people that you can work with. There is some common ground in some areas. So when you have issues such as homelessness, and there's still an urban and a rural component to that, I think there may be some area there. You have to go into this, I think, with a mindset of building good relationships and trying to work together as best you can in the areas that you can. You know, if you can't just storm in there and insist on your own way and your own ideology. I have to factor everything, looking at my communities, the small communities here, what matters to them, what impact, so always assessing, what does the impact of that bill have on our communities? You know, is it a helpful thing? Will it be a harmful thing? What are the unintended consequences? Where I think consulting with experts about that is really helpful. Where can this go?
I imagine that coming in the middle of things, right ahead of a special session, is a lot harder start as a legislator than coming in when a whole bunch of other people are coming in new as well.
Perhaps. I think there are great resources I have found already. There are people in the Capitol and certainly in the Republican caucus. So as constituents already have reached out to me, which has been great. Okay, this was left hanging. You know, I can go to those people and go, what happened to this bill? Where is it? Why did it die? Can we pick that up? What has to be done here? So there are those resources. We can gain competence pretty quickly.
Have you gotten to know many lawmakers already?
Yes, lots of them have reached out, certainly on the Republican side. There's only 23 of us out of 60 districts. The Senate side has not as much. It's a little complicated right now, of course, because Salem is torn up retrofitting. So all the offices, no one can occupy their offices, and everything is virtual meetings. So, you know, building those relationships won't be as easy, I think, because we're just so separated. Next week, I look forward to being in session and being able to meet a lot of those legislators.
Getting started, do you kind of have some goals in mind for the next year and a half or so?
I do, and it's all things that really impact our district, and how can I move those things along? What part role can I play in bills that will really be helpful to our district, and what are things that really concern me? So anything that's a mandate, that is a you shall obey the state, is a red flag to me. Anything that involves increasing our taxes, regulations, burdens on businesses that are already really pummeled, you know, is a red flag to me.
Being tied to the business community, what are your thoughts about how Oregon is in terms of how state government relates to business?
I don't think they relate well to small business at all. I don't feel like we're heard very well in these small communities. I've been in small business, and I understand that this is a tough road for small business, especially now. Lockdowns and all these mandates. I mean, we're going to have a serious shortage. We already have a workforce shortage. But now in the education sector, particularly in healthcare sector, very concerned about how those shortages are going to affect our communities.
Are there other particular issues of interest just in state government in general for you?
Well, all things related to our forests and forest fires. We're not very fire adaptive. We do a lot of talk about it, but not much action there. I've been involved with the Communities for Healthy Forests for a few years now. I plugged in when I was interim commissioner, and there's some real, just some really bright professional people, foresters, and there's some good legislation moving forward, so I have to really latch on to that and really pay attention to what's happening there.
And for getting started, what are your goals maybe for next week?
Redistricting. Just even though that, you know, we don't have a lot of influence right now in this process. We can speak out about the things. An example in our district, it may very well be that I-5 divides. The west side of I-5 is moved to House District 1. Now, politically speaking, in the state, that's not such a bad thing. That's a Republican district. That's David Brock Smith's district. So Winston and Riddle perhaps will end up in that district. A little hard to represent. It's not, you know, one can argue that's not really a coastal community, Winston, but that's kind of how these little population puzzle pieces are being manipulated. So at this point, I will be I'll be a team player with the caucus, and these people that have been at this for months and are negotiating with the Democrats, you know, I will participate in, I will follow that lead.
So how do people in District 2 contact you?
They may reach out to me at rep.christinegoodwin@oregonlegislature.gov. I also have a phone number, 503-986-1402. It's a new number I'm learning. The best way right now is with the... By the way, that phone number, just back up a little, that will transfer to our local number. And that is, of course, those communications, what we're setting up right now. But we're going to be really online, particularly after special session week.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.